Good morning to everybody that's listening to this online. I got to say, you know, this is the second Sunday that we haven't met, but man, I really miss you. I miss getting together, having church, our Bible studies, and just fellowshipping with you. But I also want us to be reminded that just because we're not having church doesn't mean that we cannot worship. You know, you can worship in your house. You can worship in your car. You can worship on the farm. You can worship in your garage. There is no place where you can go that the Lord doesn't hear you. So I challenge us this morning to make a cheerful noise unto the Lord wherever you are at. Please don't let our current circumstances keep you from worshiping. I've taken quite a few calls this week and even spoken to some of you in person. And the one question that continues to pop up is, you know, Donnie, how long do you think it's going to be before we start having church again? Donnie, how long do you think this pandemic is going to run? Well, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I don't know. But I do know that we're going to be wise as we go through this, just as like the book of Proverbs is telling us. Be wise. We're going to take this day by day, week by week. And just like everything else we do, we're going to lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance and for direction. I'm going to send out an update every Friday on the phone tree, making everyone aware of our current situation of church gatherings. I plan on recording a message each week, loading it on the church website as well as Facebook, just in time for Sunday morning service. We can still have Sunday morning service together. It's going to be online. And for the people that don't have internet access, we've installed a small black box next to the basement door. We plan on making copies of each Sunday's message just like before. Put these CDs in that box. People can drive up to the back door. You can grab a CD at your convenience. And they too will be ready to go by Sunday morning. We're also working on different ways for you to submit your tithing. We're looking into an app. We're looking into being able to do it online. But until we figure that out, feel free to mail it to the church. Myself and April are still coming by the church to check mail, check answer machine, pay bills, make sure everything in the church is still up and running. And just because we're not all gathered together in these four walls at one time does not mean that we are not a church. All of us working together for the greater good, caring for one another, seeking God's will, and sharing the gospel. That, my friends, is what makes up a church. With that being said, I want to challenge all of us to get creative in how we're going to plan on doing that. We're not going to be meeting face-to-face, so we need to get creative. Start praying about that. Pray and ask God for creative outreach. Ask God to show you how we can be there for each other during this time, during this pandemic, during this time when we're shut in. Lord, show us how we can get creative and care for one another. Ask Him to show us how we can show our love to people inside and outside of our church. James 4:3 tells us, you know, we don't receive because we don't ask. So church, I say, we start asking. Start asking like you haven't asked before. Start praying like you haven't prayed before. And I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of time on our hands over the next few weeks, next few months. And what better way to spend it than talking to our Almighty God? Amen. Use this time to catch up on your prayer life. Use this time to catch up on your Bible reading. Use this time to fall in love with God all over again. Use this time to build on your relationship with your Heavenly Father. See this as an opportunity for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth for yourself. Spiritual growth for your children. Spiritual growth for your entire family. And get this, maybe even some spiritual growth for a sinful world. And God's got a plan in this. We might not be able to see it. And sometimes it's even hard to admit that, you know, God's even at work in all of this. But I'm here to tell you, He is. God is at work. God has a plan. Trust Him for everything. And yes, this will pass. I want to get started this morning, before I even get into the message, with a song that I heard this past week. It fits in our current circumstances so well.
Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes, I will lift my cares, lay them in your hands, I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me.
Continue our look at the book of Proverbs and gaining wisdom. I'm going to be looking at what the book says about friendships, about the kind of friend that we should have, and at the same time, the kind of friend that we should be. I've given today's message a one-word title. Here it is: friendship. That's it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that even though this building's not full, we know that we are all worshiping together. Lord, I think about our current circumstances, and I say and I pray that you calm our hearts, that you calm our spirits, that you allow us to feel your presence throughout it. Lord, be in it. Lord, I know you're in it. But I ask that we, as individuals, as humans, get to see and be a part of your plan through it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs teaches us that there is more to friendship than just being acquainted with somebody or socializing with someone. Proverbs offers us a view of friendship that helps us better learn what it means to have good friends and also be a good friend. It's a view that moves beyond surface level companions to a very deeper level in which we share our hearts and our lives with one another. Let's take a look at what Solomon says in Proverbs 18:24. If you're out there and you're listening and you've got your Bible with you, do me a favor, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 18:24. Let's do this together. Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says this, "A man of many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." You know, Psalm is saying having mere companions isn't enough to make it through this life, that we need close, heart-to-heart, inner circle friends. You know, we live in a day and an age where if you were going to ask somebody about their friends or how many friends they have, they would say something like this. They would say, I've got 750 friends on Facebook. I have about 1,000 Instagram followers. Well, let me start off by telling you that that is not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm sorry, but that's not my definition of friends. I'm talking about close, personal friends. The people you care for, people you trust, the people you are going to share your deeper needs and your struggles with. I'm talking about the people in your life that are more than social media, more than your Facebook likes, more than who follows you on Instagram. You know, we can all say that we know a lot of people, and some of them may consider themselves friends. But in all reality, they're just acquaintances. They're not people you're going to share your deeper needs and your deeper struggles with. They're people who you basically reminisce with, you socialize with, you speak to in passing, and heck, maybe you just tolerate. But in life, we need people who are going to be there with us and for us. Be there for us when life has not gone the way that we had hoped it would go. And if there's ever a time that life is not going the way that we had hoped, now is it, wouldn't you say? God places people in our lives, friends, to help us with this life that we live. Godly sisters and brothers that can help us when we're in need. And also realize that we are the friend that can help others when they're in need. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, if you're out there and you're listening, Bible's in front of you, go ahead and flip. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 9. I'm going to read this verse by verse, but then I'm going to talk a little bit about that verse before we move on to the next one. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says this, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." You know, Paul calls for our love to be genuine. Literally, the word means to be unhypocritical. He's saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a phony, especially to your friends. Be true, be genuine, be honest, and be there for them. Here's another way to put it. Be the friend to others that you would want them to be to you. Take a look at verse 10. "Love one another with brotherly love, with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Now, without getting into all the Greek meaning of these in this verse, there's two different words for love used in this sentence. Paul is saying to you, or he's saying to us, to have a brotherly love and love one another as if we were family members. That's what those two words of love mean in Greek. Have a brotherly love and love one another as if you were family members. Love one another with loving tenderness, as a parent and a child would have mutual tenderness and love for one another. That's how we should be loving one another. That's part of being a friend and having others be a friend to you. Look at verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That word contribute here means to share or to participate. It's a call to help your friend when they're in need. Can you contribute something positive in their lives with what they've got going on? If they're in need, can you provide a meal? Cut their grass? Give them a ride? Can you do something to help them? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Donnie, we're in the middle of a pandemic here, right? You know I can't go out and I can't cook for someone right now. I can't give them a ride to the grocery store. Heck, I'm not even supposed to go over to their house right now. That's right. But that shouldn't stop us from calling each other, from checking in on each other. Send them a text letting them know that you're thinking about them. Send them a postcard letting them know that you miss them. Heck, you could even write them a letter. You know what that is, right? Why not? You have more time now than you've had in the past. Use this time to get creative and check in on your friends. Check in on your brothers and sisters in Christ. We still need to be there for each other. You know, the Christian way to get around this is just to let them know, just to tell them, you know, I'll pray for you. It sounds all spiritual, doesn't it? Praying for your friends is great. It's what we need to be doing. They need our prayers. But you know what else they need along with prayer? They need that friend who's going to walk with them in that journey, sharing life and sharing resources. Sometimes your friends need more than just your prayers. They need your actions. And you do that by showing kindness, showing compassion, showing empathy. You're opening yourselves up and you're being welcoming to that friend, even though it might be a huge inconvenience. But because they're your friend, you gladly become inconvenienced so you can care and you can minister to them. Jump up there to verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. What more needs to be said about this passage? When our friends are happy, rejoicing, celebrating, can you be genuinely happy and celebrate with them? Can you dance and can you sing with them? And when life throws them that curveball and they're hurting, can you be there for them as well? Can you weep? Can you cry with them? Can you bring comfort? And not just with words. Maybe just be that ear that they need to have. Be there for them. Listen to them. As my wife so eloquently puts it, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. Be the person. Be the friend that can listen and be there for them. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what we're supposed to be doing for one another. Now I realize we're in that sermon series on Proverbs talking about wisdom, and I'm talking about Paul, and we're in the book of Romans. So let's take a look at a couple things that Solomon says in Proverbs. Proverbs 17:17. You don't need to turn there. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That word adversity means hardships. It means difficulties. It means trials. So let me read it again, but in a little bit different way. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born when life gets tough. A friend becomes a brother or a sister when times get tough. And they don't think about their wants, and they don't think about their needs, but instead, they're thinking about you. Think about the people that you call your closest friends. When you hurt, do they hurt? Are they there for you? Do they drop everything to make sure that you're all right? Now ask yourself this question. Am I the kind of person that someone could turn to in times of trouble, knowing that my response will be one of love? Will I drop what I have going on to help a friend in need? Will I not worry about my circumstances and instead go and minister to my friend? Will I be there for them no matter what? Isn't that the measure of a friend? They are there for you no matter the circumstances. They cry with you. They hold you. They hug you. They keep their mouth shut and just simply listen when you need that ear. That, my friends, is the measure of a friend. They love you at all times, no matter what. You know, we read in Job 6:14, he says, "He who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty." That Almighty is capitalized, talking about God. When your friend is in need, or when you're in need, is your friend there for you? Are you there for them? Job tells us if you withhold kindness, compassion, and care to your friend, it's the same result as not having a reverence for God. As I come to a close, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." You know, a good friend is going to help you. He's also going to help you grow. They're going to sharpen you. They'll pour themselves into your life, and they're going to help you do what's right. They'll guide you in the right path. And get this, they'll correct you if you need it. But at the same time, they'll be there to always praise you. That's what our friends should do. And it's what we should be doing for our friends. Church, that's what we should be doing for each other. The ultimate hope is that your friendship will demonstrate who Jesus is in your life. You are His representative wherever you go. You proclaim Jesus by the way you relate to your friends and even to your acquaintances. So, dear friends, go. Be a friend and show the world Jesus. Let them see God through you. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message. I thank You for putting it and laying it on my heart. Lord, help me be the friend that You want me to be. And at the same time, I pray, Lord, make my heart hurt for what hurts Yours. I pray that for our entire church, every person out there listening, dear Heavenly Father. I pray that You consume me and consume every listener. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close with a song that's so fitting to this message. Let them see You in me.
Take away the melodies, take away the songs I sing, take away all the lies and all the songs You let me write. Does the man I am today smile, another face, another breath, a grain of sand, passing quickly through your hand. I give my life an offering. Take it all, take everything. Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Just let them see you in me. Let them see you.